Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
A guy in Fort Lauderdale with a transfusion tree remembering when he was still virile. Please leave me alone. Anyway, I'm down in Florida. Yesterday, if you listened to the show, you heard warping and woofing, right, in the sound delivery. It's because we found a problem. We don't have it today. You want to hear the problem? Now, I have a great studio on the ocean. In a house I've had here since 2009. I built a studio, and you know, you forget how fast time moves on. Anyway, the equipment's here from 2009, replaced some of it, but that's not the issue. We so upgraded all of the equipment in the house with so many devices that the bandwidth was being sucked out of my studio by, what do they call, Ryan, laptops? iPads were put into the house without my knowledge to control shades and lights and chairs that move and shoes that come on automatically. Your teeth are brushed by a special machine. I mean, crazy. So it's apparent that all these iPads were sitting in the house sucking the bandwidth. You understand why we had the warping and the woofing. It's fixed. It's good. It is Rock and Roll Friday. Open mic to Mike. Any topic of the week is fair game. And we had a lot of big topics this week. The big topic today is, should Trump use the National Guard to round up criminal illegal immigrants and throw them out of the country? Now, it's a false news story. The White House is calling the AP report of 100,000 National Guard to round up illegals 100% not true. Well, even if it was true, it would not be the first time that a president mobilized the National Guard for immigration enforcement. But that did not stop. No, it did not stop the fake senator from New York, Charles Schumer, from going on a tirade against Donald Trump, calling him everything under the sun. But Schumer, listen, we know you to be the schmaltzy senator from Katz's Deli. You're the kind of guy, if you were a deli man, Schumer, and a guy came in saying he had a heart condition, please give me lean corned beef. The minute he turned his head, you'd put extra fat on the sandwich, Charles. But you see, Schumer, although you got excited about this National Guard proposal, well, let's listen in to what the deli man, the fake senator from New York, Schumer, said in clip four.
There's speculation, there's an AP report that says that they're considering, the administration is considering 100,000 National Guard troops to round up immigrants. That's despicable. That would be one of the most un-American things that would happen in the last century. And I just hope it's not true. The fact that it might even be considered is appalling.
Schumer, listen to me. You ought to study a little history. You're a bright boy. Didn't you go to Harvard? Didn't you go to Harvard? Don't you know history, Schumer? In 2010, former President Barry Obama, your hero, said that he would deploy 1,200 National Guard troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. And they were sent to Arizona, Texas, California, New Mexico. It's interesting that Schumer didn't have a fit that time. In 06, former President Bush called up 6,000 National Guard troops to California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. They were commissioned to help install border barriers, provide training, and assist with border surveillance. By the way, while they were there during that operation, according to Customs and Border Protection, the National Guardsmen resulted in the apprehension of 5,000 people, 110 vehicles, $11 million, 28,000 pounds of marijuana, and 1,447 pounds of coke. So the fake senator from Katz's Deli really ought to calm down a little. He ought to take a chill pill. He ought to see his therapist over the weekend, take a deep breath, and realize that even if Trump does call out the National Guard to deport criminal, illegal aliens, remember what we're talking about here. Is Schumer arguing that he actually wants gang members roaming the streets of America? What would be wrong? Let me ask you this. Should Trump use the National Guard to round up criminal illegal aliens? Who's going to round them up? You? Schumer's going to round them up? How? So I'm asking you a simple question. Now we have another topic. Facebook. what's his name, Zuckerberg. He says Facebook, basically he wrote a manifesto, the Zuckerberg manifesto. I have it in front of me, building a global community. And I read the thing. Zuckerberg says Facebook is building an infrastructure for community manifesto, an international community manifesto. I read it very carefully, all several thousand words. And here's my summation. For those of you who are Zuckerberg watchers, it is a sophomoric, neo-Marxist, internationalist collection of drivel. And what it is, by Zuckerberg, is an attempt to destroy further the borders and language and culture of every nation in order to make him richer. He is, in his own way, a new Marx, a new Karl Marx. He writes, how do we help people build a civically engaged community? And Zuckerberg answers the question himself. The second is establishing a new process for citizens worldwide to participate in collective decision-making. Our world is more connected than ever, says Zuckie, and we face global problems that span national boundaries. So he thinks he's the new Karl Marx, and what's good for Karl Marx is good for the world. What is good for Zuckerberg is good for the world, he thinks. Another egomaniac, megalomaniac, very, very smart kid, very lucky kid, but he is way out of his league. And the man actually thinks he's going to run for office. That, see, he thinks that with any amount of money, you can become president. He's making the false assumption that because Trump, who was a businessman, could win, Zuckerberg is making the false assumption that because he has much more money than Trump, he could also win the presidency. What he doesn't understand is that there's a huge difference between Donald Trump, his message of borders, language, and culture, and the Zuckerberg Manifesto, which is a manifesto of internationalism, of no borders, no language, and no culture. He's not going to win. He's running against the history. You get it? I'm just doing this for you today. It's Friday. Oh, by the way, while we're focusing on the Zuck, since Zuckerberg cares so much about building a global community, folks, can we look into the double Irish deception? How Google, Apple, Facebook avoid paying taxes. Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! The more he talks about community and the global support of community, you know that he's not paying his fair share. There's a thing called a double Irish, a tax haven strategy that you cannot use. For most average Americans who earn around $42,000 a year, paying taxes is something you have to do. But you see, you cannot use the double Irish. The double Irish is a loophole in the U.S. tax code that allows companies like Facebook, Google, Apple, you know, all the patriotic guys, the Tim Cooks of the world, to avoid income if that profit was earned by a subsidiary overseas, even though the U.S.-based company owns the subsidiary. The double Irish strategy, Mr. Trump, needs three companies to work. The U.S. company, Company A, Mr. Trump, licenses its intellectual property to a subsidiary based in Ireland. The first Irish company, B, is legally based offshore in a tax haven such as Bahamas or Cayman Islands, for instance. See, Mr. Trump, this company licenses the patent rights to a second Irish company, Company C. The second company, Mr. Trump, receives income from... But you see, Mr. Trump, these royalties and fees are deductible expenses. So no taxes are paid on them, Mr. Trump. The U.S. company doesn't pay any federal taxes on the income from the Irish companies, Mr. Trump, because the earnings were not made in the U.S. And that's, my friends, how Google, Apple, Facebook avoid paying taxes. Do you know what the average tax rate is for these companies? In recent years, three of the top U.S. tech companies, Google, Apple, and Facebook, have saved over $8 billion in taxes. Had they paid their taxes like you and I, 4 million children could have had health insurance. 6.5 million children would be vaccinated. 200,000 elementary teachers could be hired. A year's worth of groceries could be purchased for 770,000 families. And the entire California Highway Patrol could be funded for 4 years. So, Mr. Trump, if every American paid an equivalent tax rate, which they're paying of 0.7%, you heard me. I'm paying 39.5% on federal, about 15% state tax. If every American paid an equivalent tax rate of Google, Apple, and Facebook of 1.7%. Can you imagine how much extra money you would have each year? So when you read about Zuckerberg's manifesto on building a global community, you really ought to look into the amount of money they're not paying in taxes. Look out for liberals. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. They want you to pay the taxes, and then they want to erase the borders. That's all. Here's a little story from Breitbart, July 7th, 2016. DOJ investigating Facebook for suspected Irish tax dodge. Now, that was under Obama, the Department of Justice, last July. I wonder if the new Attorney General, attention, Jeff Sessions. And I really wonder if the Antitrust Division of the Justice Department is going to go after some of these monopolies. Now, I want to ask you something. I am only a shock jock. You know that. I'm not as intelligent as Jake Tapper or Wolf Blitzer. You know they're the smart ones in the media, the ones in the fake news business. They're the real geniuses. I'm a mere shock jock. But as a mere shock jock who does the best he can, struggling through a show every day, writing books as best as I can, with the limited use of language that I have, I ask some important questions. And some of the questions I ask in my own naive way are questions that the geniuses in the fake news business don't seem to get around to, because they're doing the important business of attacking Donald Trump. But the kind of questions I ask are such as, why are monopolies like Google allowed to exist without being broken up by the Justice Department? Why don't they give young people a chance to compete with them? Or why isn't a monopoly like Facebook broken up by the Department of Justice and give younger people with smaller Facebook-like companies a chance to develop a company? I'm just asking the questions because I do the best I can. Again, in my own limited way as a shock jock, I try my best to think through these things. I'm certainly not at the intellectual level of CNN. The guy like Acosta, you know how smart he must be. He must have gone to the fifth grade, so far as I know. And he must know the answers to these questions, and I don't either. But this is the beginning to the show. Facebook paid no income taxes in 2012. And Zuckerberg is writing, all right, I'm having a good time. I walked on the beach a couple hours before the show with my assistant. I had to drag him off the beach because of all the bikinis. He was reluctant to come back to the studio, but he's a young fellow full of life. And he said, God, it's not like the West Coast. The water is a lot warmer. I said, is that all that's on your mind? So here we are. He's got a big smile on his face. It's Friday. I thank God I survived the week so far. It's been a great week, very hard week for me. Not an easy week, don't get me wrong. Did a show Monday in California, flew Tuesday, did Wednesday. Okay, Thursday, we had the whoop and the woof because of the bandwidth thing. And today, so far, good, Robert? Are we running good? I want to know. We're all here. It's broke that up. Oh, it's broken again. I can't believe this. Again, the warping and the woofing. I'll cut my hand off. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Look, there's a Christie's over there eating the meatloaf today at Trump. He looks like a walking meatloaf to me. Like a zucchini. I don't know. What is this with the meatloaf? I want to know how Trump living on that kind of food is what I want to know. What does he have, like genes that are unbelievable? A man his age lives on meat, milk, but he doesn't drink. All right, that must be the answer. And good genes, good genes. So here's a nice story for you out there. I already did three stories. It went over like a dead balloon. Kill myself digging stuff for 100 in the National Guard, not a call. Zuckerberg says Facebook building an infrastructure for international community. No one paid attention to a word I said about Zuckerberg and the no taxes. Zero. Dead. So here's another one. I said, should Trump use the National Guard for criminal legal immigrant roundup? Nothing. A zero. Here's one that should get your attention. So-called students at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, you know what that is. It's a cauldron of stupidity. Demand free college for African Americans. All right, let me read that again. Black students should be offered free tuition and housing at the University of Wisconsin-Madison because blacks were legally barred from education during slavery. And university remains out of reach for black students today, the student government said Wednesday. Are you listening to this? Do you see what happens when you let idiots into college who don't have the capacity to be in a university?
because they cannot keep up with the other students in academic areas, what they do is they go into militancy, and they think that that substitutes for chemistry. Militancy is not the equivalent of engineering. And then they start to listen to their own rhetoric, and because the college administrators are afraid of them, they yell more, and this and that. So they talk about diversity and inclusion. Free college for African Americans. Well, let me think about that. Should it be limited to poor African Americans or all African Americans? Should it be limited to African Americans who have a good, let us say, good academic background or any or no background? Could they be thugs from Ferguson, Missouri, who burnt down a 7-Eleven? Should they be given free tuition as well? What would they major in? Beating up people 101? Ask for comment on the resolution. Mike Nicholson, an aide to State Senator Steve Nass, a Republican, responded by saying that this is a waste of student fees to even listen to them. Can you believe this, what's going on in your colleges, what happens here? Oh, by the way, they want you to eliminate grades, too. No tests. They want blacks to get in with a test-optional admissions policy. I didn't make up the words. Test-optional. Are you listening to this? How far does this have to go till you stand up to the thugs? I was a kid. It was great. It was the first time down by the sewer plant by the Neversink River. You come away, you're like head is in the clouds. You don't even know where you are. I went out last night. I'm so tired of restaurants. I don't go to restaurants. I went to a hamburger stand. I didn't want a fancy meal. I didn't want, what would you like to drink? They milk the extra glass of wine out of you while you're waiting. I get like low blood sugar till they serve me something. I went to a hamburger stand. I had a veggie burger. And on the side, I had to do a yin-yang. I had a veggie burger and a hot dog. I know it's crazy. Like, what are you getting a veggie burger and a hot dog for? Well, because the veggie burger I did for health and the hot dog I did for taste. I don't know, worked fine. But the point is that as I was walking back from the hamburger stand in the town in which I'm staying, I walk past an outdoor Italian restaurant. You see them lingering over the salad. Everyone gets the same thing, the glass of wine or the bottle. Then the salad, everyone gets the tear of this. Then I'll have the fish. I can smell the fish in the street. I'm a fish expert. There's a lot of fake fish out there, like there's fake news, by the way. You think it's bad enough with fake news, you ought to go look into the fish business. A story came out this week about fake fish. You think you're getting snapper? You're getting tilapia from China. Sewer fish. Oh, yeah, it's a big story. I don't eat fish much anymore. It stinks, all of it. I told you when I was a kid in fish restaurants in New York, the people had nerve. They'd make the way to bring the fish out on a tray before they cooked it. And they sniffed it. Would you believe this? Then they watched if they ever cooked that same fish, by the way. They didn't trust them. They knew that they were like Schumer in those days. The waiters were all like Schumer. They looked like Schumer. A special look to a waiter's. They bring out a fish. How would you like this nice halibut? And if it was Schumer the waiter, he'd say, all right, how would you like it? Whatever you say, take the fish and put it back on the ice and give you some dreck from 3 days before, Schumer the waiter. And we knew that. Did I tell you the time my aunt went into the freezer in July with an overcoat? You didn't hear that story? I think I'm just going to do this now for a minute or two because I can't take the pressure anymore. Trump arrives in Air Force One in Florida. Wait, what is today? Friday? Oh, he's going to Mar for the night. Then he's doing a speech tomorrow at 5. He should be back to Mar by 8. And I'm going to try the meatloaf. The only question I have in my head is whether I should drink before running into certain people tomorrow night. I tend to get too loquacious when I drink. I should probably avoid it completely. I think I'll stick to like a club soda till after I have the meatloaf. Because I could get a little, a little wild if I drink. I got to be very careful. I get a little wild if I drink. I get, a little careless. Let's put it to you that way. Loose talk sinks ships, that kind of thing. So as I was saying about the Love by the Sewer plant or something along those lines, what was I talking about when I got distracted by the Air Force One landing? What a plane, my God. It's like Inside the Whale, like Jonah and the Whale. It's like a modern version of Inside the Whale. What is that thing like in there? Would it be like, would I really like, what if I flew on Air Force One? Would that be like a fulfillment of my life's dream to fly on Air Force One? I didn't say I am. What if I did? Would that be the biggest kick of my life? What would be the biggest kick of my life right now? How about getting my Jaguar X key to run 3 miles in a row without breaking down? That'd be a bigger kick than flying on Air Force One. If I get my XK-150 to go from one town to the other without calling the mechanic, would be a bigger kick than flying an Air Force One. I gotta tell you that. No, I'm just joking. They're running good now. Only cost me $3,500 the last time I drove it to town. Nothing. Not a big deal. I loved his rally today, by the way, at Boeing. I'm a Boeing fan. I like Boeing planes. I'm not an Airbus guy. I don't like the Airbus thing. I know they make a good product, but I don't like European things anymore, except my old Jaguars, because they don't count as European. They count as quaintly British. See, it's a different thing. Like, anything made in Europe now, it's not like it's bad, but it's like quaintly, you know, old Jags are like quaintly British. They don't run right. Now, come on, I'm pulling your leg. Why do you have to take every word that everyone says, like, to heart? He said this, blah, 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 write it down, send it to Media Matters. He was saying, blah, 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 blah. We know what fake news is. Just turn on the news. You'll see fake news. So as I was saying, what was I saying? Does anyone remember what I was saying after the Love by the Sewer Plant? I was going somewhere with my thinking, and I got distracted because I looked at the television, and it showed President Trump landing at West Palm Beach right now, live time. Imagine that. I'm a few miles away on the plane. Coming in. I love that he's president. When he tells me he speaks, I feel good. He gives me a sense of feeling good when he speaks. I feel like America is back. Not a backstabbing, submissive, mean, hateful, deceitful imposter in the White House. He's gone. Where is he? He's conspiring behind the scenes. Imagine we have a real attorney general now, Jeff Sessions. Look out, Charles. Look out, Chuck. There's a new sheriff in town. I hear that Schumer's greatest dream all his life was to be on the Supreme Court. That was he wanted that more than anything in the world, was to be a Supreme Court justice. He thought it would happen under Obama, but it didn't. Now he knows it's over. There's no chance for him. He's still acting like he's the leader of the Democrat Party. How did Schumer suddenly become number one spokesmouth for the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party? Well, I'm asking that question. Can anyone explain to me why he's so in love with Islam? I don't understand this. I'm missing something here. Does he know something that General Flynn didn't know about the religion of peace that I missed somewhere along the way? All right. What are we talking about now? College education, National Guard, Trump. All right, let's take a Trump. Wait, what'd you just call me?
I'm Dr. Savage.
Thank you. I thought you called me by a name. Some other name. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
You know, you mentioned, I know it's not the most important topic, but you mentioned before about how President Trump survives on all he does, and you mentioned something about his diet. Well, being a meat and potatoes guy is actually a very excellent diet.
Are you an expert in medicine and nutrition?
No, but that's been my diet for 50 years.
Oh, so therefore what you do now should apply to the universe of human beings. You know more than medical science does.
No, I'm not going against medical science.
Well, if you study even the most basic epidemiological studies of coronary heart disease, you'd find out that you're full of hot air.
Problem.
Excuse me, sir. Just because you don't have the problem from eating a terrible diet doesn't mean it should be applied to a whole population.
You need to be careful. I'm not saying you go
sir,
out.
Sir, please. This is
you want. You need.
Let me explain. This is an example of stupidity and ignorance that you hear from people. That's overwhelming. They have never studied medicine. They have never studied diet. They've never studied nutrition. They've never studied epidemiology. And because they eat a hamburger and they haven't had a heart attack yet, everyone should eat a hamburger. So let me explain to you the story. Oh, now I'm going to get into nutrition. I don't even want to do it. It's exhausting. I wrote books on the subject for years and years and years based upon torturous investigations of the subject. Because I come from an early death family. Heart attack, father, 53. Grandfather, 49. Great-grandfather in Europe, 47. So I was obsessed with the subject. There is so much good science on diet and health that if you listen to morons who don't know anything about diet and health to tell you that because they eat a hamburger every day and haven't had a heart attack, you should eat one, you're not going to get anywhere. That's called stupidity. It doesn't mean he's a bad guy, the guy who just called. I'm glad he's a meat and potatoes guy. I'm glad for him. I'm very happy he eats meat and potatoes. Good. But what does a large population of people tell us? There are some very good studies out there. Why don't you look into the studies before you espouse the ignorance that could kill millions of people? You know, I studied this for years. Let me give you one quick study that really clinched it for me in many ways. Now, by the way, a pure vegetarian diet is not necessarily the most healthful thing. Don't get me wrong now. Nor is a pure vegan diet. I don't want you to think I'm going in the other direction. There is a very, very specialized set of ideas here that have to do with specific micronutrients in foods. In other words, you could eat a pure vegetarian diet that is deficient, for example, in protective nutrients such as pyridoxine, which is vitamin B6, and you'll wind up with heart attacks as well. So it's not the vegan or vegetarianism, it's whether you're getting a sufficient amount of vitamin B6. And this was discovered many years ago in the 1950s by geniuses in this field. And it was related to the... Have you ever seen the disease of young kids who age very rapidly, progeria, I think it's called? You know, like poor little children who look like old people. They have a deficiency in their enzymatic systems that is related to vitamin B6. And unless you study that, please do not talk about diet. Stick to things you know something about. So the point I'm making is, it's a very complicated subject. I started this by talking about Donald Trump's diet. Donald Trump allegedly lives on meat, milk, and stuff like that. And it's because he is what is known as a nutritional rogue. In 1983, I wrote a pioneering book called The Skeptical Nutritionist. It was a groundbreaking book, The Skeptical Nutritionist. Many medical doctors became my friends, and I mean research doctors, for writing that book. It was published by Macmillan. It was years ahead of its time. But one of my main themes in the Skeptical Nutritionist was that just because your grandfather Mac drank scotch every day and ate meat and potatoes and lived to 106 doesn't mean it applies to you. Grandpa Mac was probably what is known as a nutritional rogue. Okay, you're not a nutritional rogue. You're different. You'll wind up with a heart condition or death altogether if you follow that kind of diet. So there's a lot more to it than just saying he did it so I can do it, or some schmendrick told me I can eat a potato and meat every day. The answer to you is everything in moderation, especially moderation. Or as I once said to you, what you eat on an individual basis, you know, once in a while doesn't really matter. The individual meal doesn't really matter. If you go out with your friends, you could eat anything for that night in a restaurant. But you don't want to eat holiday food every night. You don't want to go to a wedding every night and have a wedding dinner. Give you another example. See, I've got into a subject I shouldn't have gotten into. Here's another one. I studied ethnic nutrition for many years because I was fascinated by the different diets of different ethnic groups around the world and how it related to their health, because not all ethnic groups have the same diseases, not all ethnic groups suffer from the same illnesses, not all ethnic groups live to the same ages. So I was always obsessed with ethnic groups that live long, and I always studied the healthy. So that was an amazing road that I took. Went down that road many, many, many years. And there were many things that I learned about that, ethnic foods. You look at the Jewish diet, for example. Let's take the Jewish people as an ethnic group, even though it's really not an ethnic group. That's something you should know. But let's for a moment say the Jewish diet. What is the Jewish diet? Oh, Katz's delicatessen. No, it isn't. That's not the Jewish diet. It's not a corned beef sandwich. The Jewish diet is an Arab diet. The traditional Yemenite diet is a Jewish diet. That would be the Jewish diet. And in Israel, when they study diet, which they've done for years, especially how it relates to heart disease and diabetes, the Jews in Israel who followed the traditional Arabic diet of largely vegetarian foods suffer much lower rates of diabetes and heart disease than do the Ashkenazi Jews who came in with the Polish holiday diet. You understand what I'm saying? The heavy meat and potatoes. There's another one in India I have to tell you about. That's a real mind blower that you'll never believe when I tell you. But I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm going to talk instead about Donald Trump and the Air Force One and Florida and rally and the meatloaf and when I get back and the National Guard on the border that wasn't, and the idiots on colleges who are now demanding test-free zones and admit people based on race. It's unbelievable. Thank God I'm on the air. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You know, many of you don't know this, but I used to be the director of nutrition for one of the largest health food chains in the nation. I was proud of that particular position. And when I was approached by Superbeats to be one of their spokesmen, I said, sure, it's one of the most impressive natural functional foods I've ever seen in my career. And they said, well, why do you say that? Because it's about blood flow, blood flow, blood flow. You see, beets are loaded with dietary nitrates, which convert to nitric oxide in the body. Super Beets is the easiest way to get these natural dietary nitrates to specifically help with blood flow and circulation. You see, Super Beets works 3 times faster to give you results you can feel. Plus, it happens to taste great. It's not like a pill. I take Super Beets every day. I can feel the energy and stamina it gives me within 20 minutes, and I want you to feel it too. Just call 800-481-0504. That's 800-481-0504. Or please go to SavageLovesBeets.com. That's SavageLovesBeets.com. You get a 30-day supply free. It comes with your first order and is backed by a money-back guarantee. You also receive a free book called Beat the Odds and free shipping on your entire order. You're going to love the results you feel with your first free canister guaranteed or your money back. Call 800-481-0504. Blood flow, blood flow, blood flow. So here are some of the other stories. The NAACP CEO, whoever he is, says that Trump's views on race, quote, are somewhere between Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal. That's an interesting statement. Where did he come up with that one? Is he an anthropologist? Did it have a background in anthropology that I don't know about, the NAACP CEO? Why are they on Trump about race? Where did this come from? Where does this hatred, this racist hatred for Trump come from? That Muslims hate him because he's trying to keep terrorists out. Radical blacks hate him because he's trying to treat everybody fairly. What do you mean his Trump's views on race are somewhere between Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal? Why would anyone give a dime to the NAACP when it's become such a hateful organization? Former Twitter engineer says professional communities must make it difficult to be a conservative. Oh, really? Why is Twitter such a left-wing twit? Why is the CEO of Twitter such a left-wing twit? That's what I don't understand. Answer, taxes, taxes, taxes. Taxes, taxes, taxes. They're afraid that Sessions, Sessions, Sessions will look into their Irish, Irish, Irish tax havens and tax them fairly. Now you know the rest of the story. That's why Twitter, that's why Facebook, that's why Google all hate Donald Trump. Taxes, taxes, taxes. Irish, Irish, Irish. Offshore, offshore, offshore. They're all a bunch of lying bums. And they should pay their fair share of taxes.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture, and here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
We're talking about Zuckerberg, who wrote a highfalutin memo about internationalists and internationalism, and we shouldn't respect borders and languages and cultures, we need international norms and this and that. And then we looked into the amount of taxes they paid, and we almost fell on the floor. If I ever read to you what they paid, you'll collapse. See, if you analyze liberals, you realize what they're really all about. Zuckerberg gave a manifesto from Facebook. I have nothing against the guy. He's a smart guy. He got very lucky, built a great business. God bless him for that. But his company paid no income tax at all, according to a recent report. And this article was written by no less a lady who writes for the Huffington Post, a left-wing outlet. Facebook paid no net corporate income taxes in the U.S. in 2012, according to a new report from Citizens for Tax Justice, a left-leaning research and advocacy group. Instead, Facebook will rake in $429 million in net tax refunds for the year. The government pays them. The company earned $1.1 billion in U.S. corporate profits last year and paid nothing. So now when you read that Zuckerberg writes a big story with his manifesto that we don't need borders and no language and no culture, it's so he can shovel money overseas and not pay a nickel. Look, it's time for Jeff Sessions to crack down on Undershirt. Just rake Undershirt in and pull him before a hearing with Republicans and ask him why he doesn't pay any taxes if he cares so much about the poor. That's all. I'm sick of this. Here's where the left and the right should really get together and make these criminals pay their fair share of taxes. You heard me. Now I'm starting to sound like that guy from Brooklyn who ran for president. Where is he? He was taken over. He was superseded by Schumer. What's his name? The seltzer man cometh. What's his name? The guy who ran for the presidency. I forget his name. Look how you can forget if they're not in the news every day. Bernie Schmedic. You see people with broken cars still driving around with Bernie stickers wherever you go. It's sad. Like a broken car, you know, with a muffler falling off, has a bad Bernie sticker on the tail. But where is Bernie? He's been replaced by Schumer. They must have shut him up. Schumer must have gone to Bernie and said, look, Bernie, there's only one room for one seltzer man at a time in the American political circus. So why don't you take a nice long vacation somewhere in Jacksonville? We'll provide the transportation in the form of a short line bus ticket for you and the missus. I'll give you one night out at Disneyland. It's nearby. I could go into topics that'll get you mad. I don't want to do it. Wisconsin students demand free college for African Americans. Now, we're going to pay attention to a bunch of idiots who never belong in college to begin with. You know what? Five radicals go there and who can't keep up with everyone else. They can't keep up with engineering students, so they go into a field where they don't have to study at all, and they spend their whole day agitating. So they say there should be no scores, no SAT scores, and there should be no tests. I swear to God, then why are you going to college? The University of Oregon's proposed, they want more ethnic studies courses. That should be very valuable. How do you make a living if you study ethnic studies in college? What do you go out and practice ethnic studies 101? What kind of job do you get in ethnic studies, except working for Obama and he's no longer president? The so-called resolution demands free access to the university for all black people, including former inmates. That means free tuition, free housing, and no fees. Now, what if the black person's a millionaire? Should they get free tuition, too, because of slavery? I mean, would that be part of diversity and inclusion? I don't understand this. The Associated Students of Madison, Wisconsin, said that students from suburban high schools are overrepresented and that ACT and SAT scores should not be applied at all because it restricts opportunities for the poor and upholds white supremacy. This is so racist, it's not even worth talking about. I throw them off the campus and tell them, look, you know what I mean? Study a real course or get out of here. Don't waste our time. Where are the leaders in the university community to stand up to these idiots? I believe in access to the universities for all races based upon quality. Because as I wrote many years ago, without quality, there can be no equality. Period. End of story. I knew a black guy when I was young who got in on a full scholarship. His father was a surgeon. They were a millionaire family. He himself was embarrassed by it. But he took the money anyway. You see? I don't want to talk about it. I'm sick of it. I'm not going to talk about race. I'm just tired of the topic. You know, Obama's gone. Can we stop talking about race? I'm sick of it. Captured ISIS militant says he raped and killed hundreds of women. It was normal. Where was Hillary Clinton while that was happening? While ISIS was raping their way across the Middle East? How come the big champion of women didn't say one word about ISIS? Islamic State militant Ammar Hussein says he reads the Quran all day in his tiny jail cell to become a better person. Really? He also says he raped more than 200 women from Iraqi minorities and shows no regrets because he's allowed to do it according to his holy book. Are you listening to what I just said to you, you morons, you, who think that all religions teach the same thing, you idiots, you? You stupid brainwashed liberal morons, you? You idiots who don't know anything about the world you live in, you stupid idiots, you? Islamic State militant Amar Hussein says he reads the Quran all day in his tiny cell to become a better person. He also says he raped more than 200 women from Iraqi minorities and shows few regrets because it's permitted. Hussein told Reuters in an interview that his emirs or local Islamic State commanders, quoting their Bible, gave him and others a green light to rape as many Yazidi and other women as they wanted. Young men need this, Hussein said to Reuters. This is normal. Hussein said he moved from house to house in several Iraqi cities, raping women from the Yazidi sect and other minorities. That would be Christians as well. At a time when the Islamic State was grabbing more and more territory from Iraqi security forces. Now, I want to pause right there. Do you know when ISIS started to be beaten back? It was only when Russia started bombing them. Do you know that? You see, our president, Hussein Obama, was running a fake war against ISIS. It was a nun war. It was a fake war, and I knew it from the get-go. The day I saw a victory parade of Toyota trucks after they took a city, and our Air Force was not allowed to bomb them, I knew it was a fake war by Obama. Obama was doing a head fake on us. Then when Russia got serious and started bombing these throwbacks, all of a sudden, yeah, we're going to bomb too. Now, of course, ISIS is somewhat on the run right now. Witnesses say Islamic State fighters raped many Yazidi women after the group rampaged through northern Iraq in 2014. It abducted many Yazidi women as sex slaves and killed some of their male relatives. How come we didn't hear anything about this when Hussein Obama was president? How come we didn't hear anything about this when Hillary Clinton was running as the champion of women? How come we didn't hear about the rapes? You heard about it from me. Hussein said he also killed about 500 people since joining Islamic State. We shot whoever we needed to shoot and beheaded whoever we needed to behead. He said, my emirs taught me how to kill. It was hard at first, but then it became easier every day. We'd kill 7, 8, 10 at a time, 30 or 40 people. We would take them in the desert and kill them, said Hussein. Really? Did you? I would sit them down, put a blindfold on them, and fire a bullet into their head, said the good Muslim. But he says the reason he did it is he came from a broken home. Hussein sees himself as a victim of hardship, a product of a broken home and poverty in his hometown of Mosul, where Iraqi forces have launched an offensive against the Islamic State to take them out from their last stronghold in Iraq, blah, blah, blah. So he sits in his jail cell reading a Quran, and he looks at religious slogans scratched on its cement walls. His only possessions are a thick blanket and a Quran. On the floor is a polystyrene plate with broth and some rice. I could read more, but I really think I should stop right here. Because if you don't know that not all religions are equal, in the sense that they don't all teach peace and love, then you really are hopeless. You belong on the Bill Maher show, or you belong working for Bernie Sanders. And now, my friends, that's not the rest of the story. There's more to it than that. Now let's go to michaelsavage.com. See all the stories, and my new book will be out soon. Trump's war. Hold it a minute. I got to tell you about this. You know, I'm really too nice to you. I don't really tell you about the new book enough. First of all, do you like the picture of me? It's a whole different look of me. That's number one. Trump's war is battle for America. You know, a book is an important part of a cover. Raise your hand if you saw the picture of me with the hat I'm wearing. Anyone who could tell me what kind of hat I'm wearing will get a special prize. It'll be a trip to Mosul, a one-way ticket to I'm just joking. No, I didn't want the fedora anymore. Is anyone listening to this show today, or did the system fail again? It's a great picture of me. It's a certain kind of hat. Trump's War is Battle for America, Michael Savage. I'm going to turn to the table of contents. Page 3. It's a good book. His Battle for America, Michael Savage. I'm going to try and give it to a certain person tomorrow night. See if he'll want it. Coming out in March. Chapter 1, Trump's War Against the Enemies Within. Chapter 2, Trump's Economic War. 3, Trump's War to Repeal Obamacare. 4, Trump's War for Our Borders. Chapter 5, Trump's Culture Wars. 6, Trump's War to Restore the Military. 7, Trump's War Against the War Machine. Chapter 8, Trump's War Against the Rhinos. Now, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. You think you heard it all? You are wrong. Here's the rest of it. Chapter 9, Trump's War to Restore Real Science. I want to help him with that one. Chapter 10, Trump's War for the First Amendment. 11, Trump's War for the Second Amendment. And here's one that should appeal to all of you. Chapter 12 of my new book is Trump's War Against the Deep State. Concludes with Chapter 13, The Battle Plan, Savage Solutions. It's a must-read. You have to have it in the Savage Library. Last political book, end the story. Won't do anymore. I put down the God book when I worked on this. I was 19,500 and some odd words into the God book. And then I was asked to do the Trump book. I really have abandoned the God book. I pray to God every once in a while, and at night. I pray before the show. I don't know if you know this. I'm not trying to show off. Ask the guys. I do. I pray to God for the strength to do the show. What, do you think it's easy? If I did not pray every day before the show, I don't think I can get up and do this anymore. It's too difficult to just make it up as you go along. So I've got to pull down the divine energy, the Shekinah. I got to pull it out of the sky. You see, there's an energy up in the, there's an energy field in the universe. You want me to get into this? There is an energy field in the universe. And all religions, whether they be the type of religions we understand or the type of religions we don't understand, all religions try to tap into this universal energy. If you study Native American traditions, you will see that they are, if you look at their dances and you look at their rituals, it's all an attempt to reach the spirit world. Is that right? Now, of course, the monotheistic religions do not believe in the spirit world per se. We believe in a higher power called God. But to me, it's one and the same. I have to tell you right now, I've spent enough time in island groups that are very obscure with people who reach the spirit world to tell you that there are people who can reach the spirit world and they don't have to do it with our understanding of how to reach the spirit world. And I've seen the spirit world affect people in my own life. I've also seen the spirit world protect me. And I'm going to tell you, now I'm going to go into what I want to talk about. Here, someone looked at the hat, thank God. I got to take that call in a minute. See, at least someone responded to when I said hat. Regina's going to win a prize for that. I wrote a book back in the 80s called Insert. I can't even give you the title. Someone will steal it. I'm having it edited and transcribed right now. The young lady who's doing it says, this is your best book ever. See, I don't even talk about it. It's my odyssey of the years I was collecting plants. It starts out with this young boy from Queens who winds up on an island in the South Pacific looking for plant remedies. And it ends up at a graveyard on Long Island, a potato field where my father, mother, and brother are buried. It's a quest. It's an odyssey is what it is. But she said to me, did this really happen to you when you said you left the village late at night under a new moon when there was no moon and you had to get out of there? You felt something enter the bure, the straw house you're with the men drinking kava kava, and you had to leave. You just felt you had to leave, and they said, don't go, and you went, and you walked back to your village that night along a cliff, and the next day you were taken back to that cliff by your good friend Dominico, who said to you, look where you walked last night, Michael, and you had walked on a 6-inch cliff, a piece of a cliff that was 6 inches with about a 200-foot fall into the sea. She said, how did you do that? Who guided you? Who guided your feet on that? You had no flashlight. I said, the spirits guided my feet. So I don't want to lose my contact with the spirits or with God. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That's all I want to say to you. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Great callers now. Once I started talking about the real me and get off the news, the people want to hear the rest of the story. So I got a lot of people calling about how good I look with my hat on the cover of Trump's War. I'm no longer wearing the fedora. But I want to finish the story of my aunt walking in the freezer because I started it 2 hours ago. And just a quick one to show you how people were in those days, how they were not ashamed to distrust people like Charles Schumer who were in the butcher business. In other words, they all looked and acted like Charles Schumer does politically, but they owned a butcher store or a corned beef sandwich, a deli. My aunt would go in the butcher store in the summer, in July, in the Catskill Mountains, and she'd pick a steak out in the front in the butcher's display cabinet for chopped meat. And she'd say, Mike, can you grind it up for me? Oh, sure, I'll grind it up for you. You wait here, darling. I'm going to go in the freezer where I have the grinder. I'll grind it up. She went to this butcher with an overcoat in July because she knew that he would take the steak, put it on a top shelf, and take pre-ground cheaper meat and bring it out. So she'd go in the freezer with him in the summer with an overcoat on. And he'd look at her and say, what's the matter, you don't trust me? And she'd say to him, yeah, I don't trust you.
So she wasn't, another, she wasn't ashamed to say what got on Trump. It's like you go in a restaurant, what kind of fish is it? Oh, it's Petrolli sole, when it's really tilapia from a sewer in China somewhere. But you're probably ashamed to say, prove to me it's Petrolli. Prove to me this. No one has said it. Everyone's afraid to say a word, except to call you a racist or this. That they have nerve for. So you got to take on people like Schumer. You got to take on waiters. You got to take on deli men. And you got to understand that the Romans themselves had people who were into weights and measures, because even in ancient Rome, what, the Italians didn't rob each other? They did. They had a guy who inspected weights and measures in ancient Rome. Why? Because there were guys like Zuckerberg behind the counter, even in ancient Rome. It's as simple as that. Zuckerberg was giving out weed at a certain price when it was another price.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. It is, thank God it is, thank God the week is over. What's coming up? Oh, it's President's Week, and we can't say Lincoln or Washington because they're not ethnic. And so, therefore, we have to say presidents. You can only use the name of a person if they're, you know what I'm saying? That's the way it's been. That's how communist revolutions look. So here we are. It's Friday. Lighten up a bit, for God's sakes. I can talk about UFOs if you want. That's a nice topic. A stupid article here. NASA live feed mysteriously cuts as six large UFOs creep past International Space Station. NASA is accused of cutting from the live feed to a camera in their briefing room as soon as the orbs appear on screen. You know, here's why I'm not interested in aliens from outer space. We have enough of them here from countries closer than outer space. The country is rolling in aliens. They're called illegal aliens, largely from south of the border. That's known as illegal aliens. So what do I care about what's up in space right now? I have enough trouble here. What do I care? They're illegal aliens, aliens, UFOs. Why is that such a big deal? Why is that such like a topic that people spend their lives on? Churchill believed in aliens, pyramids on Mars, objects sighted off French coast, school children spot you. We don't have enough trouble here in this country. We don't have enough trouble on Earth with ISIS members who may as well be worse than any alien in any universe. They're like we've been invaded by from another planet. But they run around raping women, Yazidi and Christians. I'm worried about from aliens. Hey, if there are any aliens here from another universe listening to the program, can you help rid the planet of the real vermin on this planet? Can you get rid of ISIS for us with some zap ray that you have, some bug spray that seeks them out and eliminates them for us? How is it that they can still get away with this? Anyway, I don't know. Pattern. NASA's hiding the presence of UFOs. People love to believe in this stuff. It makes them feel, I don't know, what does it make you feel if you're a UFO nut? KFAQ in Oklahoma. Regina, line 9, what's on your mind? What'd you call for today on Open Mic Friday, Regina?
Yes, Dr. Savage, I just wanted to let you know how dapper you look in your hat on the cover of that Trump.
Good, at least you understand style. It's not a cabbie's hat. It's a very stylish cap, isn't it?
You know what they call them, don't you? I don't know if I can say it online. I mean, it's just the name of it. They used to call them the golfers used to wear.
What? There's a dirty name for the hat I'm wearing?
No, it's
you can't say that on the air.
Oh.
Did she say that dirty word, Robert?
Well, that's what they called them back in the 20s and 30s. That's really the actual name of that hat.
Why? What does it have to do with that act?
Nothing. That's just what they called it. I don't know what I.
Well, you're a very brazen young lady to call it that name, Robert. I hope you bleeped it out. I don't want to lose my. All right. Thanks for the call. That's a nice setup. I'm talking about my hat that I'm wearing in Trump's war because people said, "Can I tell you the story of this picture? It's an interesting story. I swear to God, this is a great story. I've never told it yet. I was saving it for when the book came out. It's a true story. The photographer is the best in the business. His name is Vincent Rimini. If you remember Vincent Rimini, Vince came out and took the pictures of me and Teddy for Teddy and Me. He's the best around. He got the pictures like no one ever saw. As a matter of fact, I brought down a few copies of Teddy and Me for the first family. I don't know if you know that. They don't know it, but I brought them. No political books. I'm bringing Teddy and Me for the kids. I swear to God. So Vince came down to do these pictures for me for the book for Trump's War. Well, he tried everything. Outdoors, indoors. I got so depressed from the posing. I said, I am not an actor. I can't pose. I'm tired of this. Can't you use a picture from the past? You took 300 pictures of me with the green fedora and the brown fedora. Can you do? No, they want a new picture. So it was a bad day of picture taking. By and large, I didn't have the inner energy for it. It wasn't working. And, you know, Vince is the nicest guy in the world. After all day of shooting, and it was a cloudy day in San Francisco, he was packing up to go home, back to New York the next day. And I know he didn't look happy with the shoot. He said, look, I did the best I could, but I'm not really happy with it. So he came over to my house, and I said, come on in, I want to show you something. And he parked in the driveway, and he got his camera out for some reason, and he said, you know, I said, do you still have your camera in your car? He said, yes, loaded. I said, get it out. Hold it. Take a couple of pictures of me with this hat on. I came out with the scarf and the hat. And he did a whole, and bingo, that was the cover. It just shows you how sometimes a picture will work out. And it was not me with the fedora, because I had enough with the fedoras already. I like the cap. It's got a certain look to it, that's all. I don't want to talk about the news. It's enough already. How much can I take of this? All right, well, let's do the news. People want to hear the news. New York Times, Thomas Friedman, whoever he is. I fear Americans in the media are getting addicted to Trump. Tapper on Trump press conference. Oh, Jake Tapper is such a lightweight, you can't even weigh him. If you try to weigh Jake Tapper on a scale, it would register zero. There's nothing there, there's nothing. You never hear the word empty suit? It was invented before Tapper was born because he knew he'd be coming along. This is not a heavyweight guy who thinks. He creates fake news. And Thomas Friedman, as you all know, is a lady in waiting for the Schumer administration. I think he's going to be waiting an awful long time. He'll make him press secretary for the Schumer administration. He can give reports on the latest breaking news about stylish shoes for Chuck Schumer. WABC John, line 4, you want to talk about Schumer? Let's bash him. Let him be our goat for a while. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, thanks for taking my call. Two quick things about Chuck Schumer, the hypocrite. Number one, I think the Dems are grooming him for the next presidency, or at least he's being so loud.
Could Schumer ever win the presidency?
Well, we don't know. Who knows? At that point, 4 years...
Oh, you mean because they own the demographics by then, because of the number of illegals they flooded in, they think they can elect anyone? But is Schumer electable? I'm saying, do you think he has the charisma to be a president?
You never know. In 4 years from now, anything may be possible. So I'm just putting it out there.
All right, I see that. They know Pelosi's too old. She didn't know the difference between President Trump and President Bush, so she's finished. She don't know the difference between meatballs and lasagna, so she's finished. They can't run her. So they really don't have many in the bullpen, do they? Schumer's the best they have? That's great. That's great news. Is Charles Schumer the best that they can dig up?
Exactly. And the second point I want to bring is, I'm a police officer in Queens. And
I'm sorry to hear it. It's not the Queens I grew up in when we were afraid of the cops.
Well, I grew up, I'm a Queens College graduate like yourself.
Oh, you are? Well, I was afraid of the cops. Me and my guy, the guys I hung out with, we were nice kids, but we did some nasty things. When the cops came around from that precinct, we watched our step.
My mother always used to say, wave to your cops that are your friends. Just wave to them. And at the 111th, that's what we did.
But we also knew that if you acted up, they gave you a good beating. So in other words, they kept the neighborhood safe. My mother, God bless her, was able to walk up the street with Deitch Dairy with a roller at any time of the late in the night and get a bread or a milk, and nobody would accost her because they knew the cops were around.
Right, and you were more afraid of your parents getting the beating at home than you were from the police.
No, I got a mental beating more than a physical, but that's a separate story. It would have been easier to take a physical beating than a mental beating. I talked to kids whose fathers actually hit them. They had less scars than I do from the mental beat-up.
Exactly.
I'm not kidding you. I know a kid. He was a Catholic, and he went eventually. I don't know what happened. I forget his name. He's a nice kid. He went to a monastery in France, and he said the fathers over there, the monks, beat him every day with sticks. He said it didn't even bother him after a while. He said he just took the beating. He said it was far less than the mental beatings that some kids were getting. Would you believe that?
I believe it. But the other thing is, Schumer always says no one should have guns. No one, no guns, right? But back in September, just after September 11th, I'm walking, I'm doing his escort. I'm walking him to the screening point, and then they tell me that, no, he doesn't have to go by. I was like, why? Everyone has to get screened. He's a civilian. And they were like, no, he can go by because he has a carry permit for a 9mm. And
who does? Schumer has a carry permit?
That's what, this was back then.
And yeah, doesn't Schumer remind you of the type of guy that would be afraid the gun would shoot him?
I don't know, but after...
He looks like the kind of guy who would never have a gun in the house for fear that it would hurt him, it would go off by itself. You know, most liberals who are on medication don't have guns in the house. They're afraid that they'll use it on themselves in a fit of despondency. So they want everyone else to be as sick as they are. They're afraid the gun somehow attacks them. Yeah. I don't know. Look, I wish him the best, but the guy is a first-class putz in plain English. I don't think he could be president. No question in the world they shouldn't run him. Here's who I think is going to be run. I think it's Zuckerberg. See, Zuckerberg has got more money than God, and he figures if Trump could win, he could win. You understand? And he's got the young people and the ethnic minorities by his act. But Zuckerberg doesn't have the right message to win, number one. And number two, he will not appeal to the minorities because he is not a minority in that regard. They will not vote for him.
We'll have 4 years. We'll have 8 years of Trump.
I don't know. You're raising a good point. Either 4 years or 8 years from now, it's actually 3 years they're going to start it in again. Can you believe 3 years from now Trump has to run again?
I know. Yep.
I don't believe this. That's a long time to think about. But they're ready running already now. They're running. Zuckerberg and this one and that one.
They have to.
All right. Are you still an active cop?
Yes, I am.
Where? In Queens?
Yes, sir.
Do the kids listen to you, the bad kids? Do they respect you when you drive by in a car?
Sometimes they do. It's a long shot, but I think we're going to come a long way now with Trump and all.
Under Trump, I mean, because you got a lot of MS-13 gang members in the streets who are vicious, out of control. I happen to know that for a fact, and I know that the cops are rightly very skeptical about going in those neighborhoods. I hope to God that under Trump, they throw them all out of the country. I hope they round them up with the National Guard and the U.S. Marines if they need to. He should bring the 82nd Airborne to clean up the streets. Let Schumer scream about that. Okay, you're getting a free copy of Trump's War because you're such a nice guy and a good cop. It'll be out in a couple of weeks, March 14th. Meanwhile, I'm down here in Florida. It's Friday. Can you believe that I got through a week with the warps and the woofs and the this and the that? It happened again today, I heard. It's awful. I don't know what it is. They say the unit is, and everything worked and it didn't work. Now it's working, now it's not working. Okay, here we go. What's in the news? You saw the news already. Again, they're all afraid of Trump. His ratings are through the roof. The Mexicans are flooding the consulates. They're afraid, and rightly so, that they're going to be some of them deported. And they're going to start by deporting the bad ones. They're not breaking up families. They're going to break up the gangs in jails. They're going to get them out of the country. There's already writs for them. Don't you understand that? Schumer's making it sound like he's going in and taking a poor Mexican out or his wife. He's not doing that. What they're doing is rounding up people for whom there are already deportation notices written up, probably under Obama's watch. So they're starting by getting rid of the bad ones. Then, here's what I told you in the last book, and I got to do it fast. And I'm going to say it again. You start by deporting the 30% of prisoners who are in prisons, who are illegal aliens. That's one-third of the prison population are not citizens. Why should we pay between $40,000 and $60,000 a year to care for them? We'll send them back to their wonderful home countries that want them so badly, where they can ply their trade there. And think of the giant sucking sound in our prisons. And how much better it will be for everybody else, with the overcrowding suddenly gone, the other prisoners will get the medical care that they're entitled to, and things like that. So, in other words, he's going to do that next. After the gang's off the streets, he's going to clean out the prisons. I doubt very much that he's going to deport regular families. I said that before. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Hey, guys and gals, are you hoping for thicker, fuller, and healthier hair without the long wait? The brand new Provia Super Concentrate from Chamonix was created with you in mind. This tiny little bottle packs four times the power of Provia's key ingredient for faster and more visible results. For example, Sharon from New Jersey says this, "I love Provia. I used to be self-conscious about my hair falling out, but since I started using Provia, my hair is thick and natural, and I couldn't be happier. Revitalizing hair follicles and improving scalp circulation naturally and without side effects. You're only one phone call or click away from stronger, fuller, younger-looking hair. Try Provia now. You will get the new Super Concentrate absolutely free with your order. Write this down, 800-543-5830. You better write it down. 800-543-5830. The new Provia Super Concentrate works or you get your money back. It's that simple. It's guaranteed. For this limited time offer, I want you to call 1-800-543-5830. Write it down. 800-543-5830. One more time. Here's your last chance to write it down. 800-543-5830. Penguin stolen from zoo is found dead near parking lot. Zuckerberg vows to ban more stuff on Facebook in the Middle East. Arizona lets inmates bring their own lethal drugs to execution. That's a crazy story. Arizona lets inmates bring their own lethal drugs to execution? I can't even understand that one. What kind of drugs would you bring if you were going to be executed? Tilapia from China? I mean, Chinese food from Queens after midnight? What would you bring? Arizona lets inmates bring their own lethal drugs to execution. My mother's cooking would have worked. But that takes 30 or 40 years. I don't see how that would work in an instant situation. If it actually didn't do the job, you could sue the prison. Crimea under Russia. Let's talk about Russia. Let's really freak out the liberals. They like Russia now. A few years ago, everyone loved Russia. Everything was good. Dungarees, Russia, Ukrainian women. The next thing you knew, they started to build up a hatred for Russians and Russia. It started under Obama. Russia, no good. Putin, Hitler. All of a sudden, everyone hates Russians in America. Really? No one hates Russia except the media. And Democrats. In the Crimea, locals fear more mayhem if forced to return to Ukraine. Are you listening to this? All right, whatever. Man found dead with zip ties around neck. That's disgusting. Wisconsin group seeks free tuition for black students. Don't call me about that. I'm sick of that story. I don't give a darn what a bunch of morons who never belonged to college to begin with are saying. Don't give me this garbage. You know, there should be standards in a university. You can't keep up, you don't get in. And when you get in, if you can't keep up, you get thrown out. That's all. The university's not for everybody. It's that simple. If you can keep up, God bless you. I don't care what your race is.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday. Open mic to Mike. Any topic of the week is fair game. And we had a lot of big topics this week. The big topic today is, should Trump use the National Guard to round up criminal illegal immigrants and throw them out of the country? Now, it's a false news story. The White House is calling the AP report of 100,000 National Guard to round up illegals 100% not true. Well, even if it was true, it would not be the first time that a president mobilized the National Guard for immigration enforcement. But that did not stop. No, it did not stop the fake senator from New York, Charles Schumer, from going on a tirade against Donald Trump, calling him everything under the sun. But Schumer, listen, we know you to be the schmaltzy senator from Katz's Deli. You're the kind of guy, if you were a deli man, Schumer, and a guy came in saying he had a heart condition, please give me lean corned beef. The minute he turned his head, you'd put extra fat on the sandwich, Charles. But you see, Schumer, although you got excited about this National Guard proposal, well, let's listen in.
There's speculation, there's an AP report that says that they're considering, the administration is considering 100,000 National Guard troops to round up immigrants. That's despicable. That would be one of the most un-American things that would happen in the last century. And I just hope it's not true. The fact that it might even be considered is appalling.
Schumer, listen to me. You ought to study a little history. You're a bright boy. Didn't you go to Harvard? Didn't you go to Harvard? Don't you know history, Schumer? In 2010, former President Barry Obama, your hero, said that he would deploy 1,200 National Guard troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. And they were sent to Arizona, Texas, California, New Mexico. It's interesting that Schumer didn't have a fit that time. In 2006, former President Bush called up 6,000 National Guard troops to California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. They were commissioned to help install border barriers, provide training, and assist with border surveillance. By the way, while they were there during that operation, according to Customs and Border Protection, the National Guardsmen resulted in the apprehension of 5,000 people, 110 vehicles, $11 million, 28,000 pounds of marijuana, and 1,447 pounds of coke. So the fake senator from Katz's Deli really ought to calm down a little. He ought to take a chill pill and realize that even if Trump does call out the National Guard to deport criminal, illegal aliens, remember what we're talking about here. Is Schumer arguing that he actually wants gang members roaming the streets of America? What would be wrong? Let me ask you this. Should Trump use the National Guard to round up criminal illegal aliens? Well, who's going to round them up? You? So I'm asking you a simple question. Now we have another topic. Facebook, the Zuckerberg Manifesto. I have it in front of me. Building a global community. And I read the thing. Zuckerberg says Facebook is building an infrastructure for community manifesto, an international community manifesto. I read it very carefully, all several thousand words. And here's my summation. It is a sophomoric, neo-Marxist, internationalist collection of drivel. And what it is, by Zuckerberg, is an attempt to destroy further the borders and language and culture of every nation in order to make him richer. He is, in his own way, a new Marx, a new Karl Marx. He writes, how do we help people build a civically engaged community? And Zuckerberg answers the question himself. The second is establishing a new process for citizens worldwide to participate in collective decision-making. Our world is more connected than ever, says Zuki, and we face global problems that span national boundaries. So he thinks he's the new Karl Marx, and what's good for Karl Marx is good for the world. What is good for Zuckerberg is good for the world, he thinks. Another egomaniac, megalomaniac. Very, very smart kid, very lucky kid, but he is way out of his league. And the man actually thinks he's going to run for office. He thinks that with any amount of money, you can become president. He's making the false assumption that because Trump, who was a businessman, could win, Zuckerberg is making the false assumption that because he has much more money than Trump, he could also win the presidency. What he doesn't understand is that there's a huge difference between Donald Trump, his message, of borders, language, and culture, and the Zuckerberg Manifesto, which is a manifesto of internationalism, of no borders, no language, and no culture. He's not going to win. He's running against the history. You get it? There is a war going on, a real war. It's a civil war right now. If they keep this up, it's going to get much worse. It'll come down to something much worse than you can imagine. Now, you could say the man behind all of this is this one or that one. It's way beyond a single man behind it all. I want you to listen to this. Here is General Flynn attacking Obama. This is why he got fired. Remember it was Obama who said that Al-Qaeda is on the run. It's a JV team. Do you remember that? Flynn was the only one who stood up to him. Listen to 03.
The president was 100% wrong. If you do not clearly define the enemy that you're going to face, you cannot figure out the best way to defeat that enemy. We are facing radical Islamists, and frankly, this is a war on reality, and the president and his close advisors need to get real. They are obviously not under enough pressure. They are not JVs. They just demonstrated that again. And they will absolutely attack again in places like London, in places like Berlin, in places like New York, in places like Washington, D.C. They're very, very well organized. This is the problem of letting the world go to hell and assuming it won't come back to bite you in the rear end.
That's General Michael Flynn, a giant of a man, an 82nd Airborne paratrooper of the highest type, ripped to pieces by low-life corned beef munchers like Schumer and his sneaky rat buddies inside the deep state. Listen to what Flynn said back in November of 2015. This is the man that the corned beef and pickle munchers just destroyed, 04.
Frankly, our amateurist foreign policy has its own place of responsibility in the mayhem that we are seeing right now. The president to stand there and say that our strategy is working against this vicious, vile enemy is absurd. It's absolutely absurd. And I'm stunned at his press conference today and the way he characterized this brutal attack, this brutal 9/11 style attack in Paris as a setback.
They never forgave him for it. The phony baloney, Barry Obama, never forgave Flynn for calling him out. Flynn is the only one who had the guts to call out Obama for what he was. And Obama the snake has his hands, his dirty fingernails are all over this. Listen to this one now in 05. Here is the man just destroyed by the corned beef and pickle munchers in 05.
This White House has a terrible track record of sending senior members of its administration out on the Sunday talk show circuit to try to baloney or talk above the United States American public. I mean, this is just unbelievable. And there's three examples of this where Susan Rice came out on Benghazi, Ben Rhodes came out on the Iranian nuclear deal. Now Attorney General Lynch has come out on this particular issue. I mean, you know, the American people are smarter than that.
Now you understand who undermined him. Who torpedoed this great American serviceman? My friends, I don't think you understand what I'm saying to you. Some of you do and some of you don't. Do you have any idea how penetrated this government is with Islamists or Islamophiles, if you want to put it in that regard? Let's say you don't take me on my word that you say Islamists have deeply penetrated many avenues of government. I can prove it to you by who's doing the training. These are hardcore Muslim fanatics who have gelded our police departments, who have gelded our military, who have tried to deball the entire masculine establishment that knows who the hell they are. And they just destroyed General Flynn with a little help from their neocon ventriloquist friends and their Democrat buddies. Now let's get to the bigger issue of Russia for a minute. Opening a dialogue with Russia is a bad thing? Opening a constructive dialogue with Russia is a bad thing? Can anyone explain to me why that's a bad thing? You're now falling for the massive disinformation put into your head after Clinton set it out as the truth? Let's say Putin's a bad guy. Let's say Putin is a dictator. Let's say Putin did terrible things to some of his own people. He does control a major nuclear arsenal and a major military. Do you want war with them? All of you neocon ventriloquists, you want war with Russia now? Didn't Ronald Reagan show us the benefits of talking straight with the Soviet Union backed by strength? How is it this effort to delegitimize Trump's authority by the Democrats, by taking down great men like General Flynn, how is it that you don't know it comes straight out of the Soviet playbook? My friend again, the army friend that I have, said the Russian terms that apply here are desinformatsiya and maskirovka, disinformation and deception. Pardon me for the bad transliteration. Desinformatsiya and maskirovka, disinformation and deception. He says that Obama should know these tactics very well. Alinsky adopted them both as part of his strategy to divide and control. Flynn was the first, and now there's blood in the water. Who will be next? And so, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, again, I focus you to Trump's War Against the Deep State within Trump's War, the book. I'm going to read you one last paragraph. The media has done far more damage invading the minds of Americans and others around the world than Putin did in invading Crimea. It's been an all-out assault on the mind space of millions by CNN, ABC, CBS, and NBC. And I write, this story is by no means over. The globalists will keep it alive as a sword of Damocles over Trump's head for his entire administration. Whenever Trump tries to improve relations with Russia, they will accuse him of appeasing the dictator who planted him in the White House, I wrote. We're going to have to be vigilant in supporting Trump and reminding people of the truth. Even if the Russians did hack the DNC, all they leaked was the truth. No one is accusing the Russians of hacking the voting machines. The report expressly says they did not. The most the Russians are guilty of is what Edward Snowden is guilty of, providing America proof of the lies, corruption, and evil of the globalist elites. These are prophetic words. They're on pages 241 and 242 of my last political book, Trump's War. It is my last political book. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Here's a little story from Breitbart, July 7, 2016. DOJ investigating Facebook for suspected Irish tax dodge. Now, that was under Obama, the Department of Justice, last July. I wonder if the new Attorney General, attention, Jeff Sessions. And I really wonder if the Antitrust Division of the Justice Department is going to go after some of these monopolies. Now, I want to ask you something. I am only a shock jock, you know that. I'm not as intelligent as Jake Tapper or Wolf Blitzer. You know they're the smart ones in the media, the ones in the fake news business. They're the real geniuses. I'm a mere shock jock. But as a mere shock jock who does the best he can, struggling through a show every day, writing books as best as I can, with the limited use of language that I have, I ask some important questions. And some of the questions I ask in my own naive way are questions that the geniuses in the fake news business don't seem to get around to, because they're doing the important business of attacking Donald Trump. But the kind of questions I ask are such as, why are monopolies like Google allowed to exist without being broken up by the Justice Department? Why don't they give young people a chance to compete with them? Or why isn't a monopoly like Facebook broken up by the Department of Justice and give younger people with smaller Facebook-like companies a chance to develop a company? I'm just asking the questions because I do the best I can. Again, in my own limited way as a shock jock, I try my best to think through these things. I'm certainly not at the intellectual level of CNN. The guy like Acosta, you know how smart he must be. He must have gone to the fifth grade, so far as I know. And he must know the answers to these questions, and I don't either. But this is the beginning to the show. Facebook paid no income taxes in 2012. And Zuckerberg is writing. So here's a nice story for you out there. So-called students at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, you know what that is. It's a cauldron of stupidity. Demand free college for African Americans. All right, let me read that again. Black students should be offered free tuition and housing at the University of Wisconsin-Madison because blacks were legally barred from education during slavery. And university remains out of reach for black students today, the student government said Wednesday. Are you listening to this? Do you see what happens when you let idiots into college who don't have the capacity to be in a university? Because they cannot keep up with the other students in academic areas, what they do is they go into militancy and they think that that substitutes for chemistry. Militancy is not the equivalent of engineering. Free college for African Americans. Well, let me think about that. Should it be limited to poor African Americans or all African Americans? Should it be limited to African Americans who have a good, good academic background or no background? Could they be thugs from Ferguson, Missouri, who burnt down a 7-Eleven? Should they be given free tuition as well? What would they major in? Beating up people 101? Ask for comment on the resolution. Mike Nicholson, an aide to State Senator Steve Nass, a Republican, responded by saying that this is a waste of student fees to even listen to them. Can you believe this, what's going on in your colleges, what happens here? Oh, by the way, they want you to eliminate grades, too. No tests. They want blacks to get in with a test-optional admissions policy. So here are some of the other stories. The NAACP CEO, whoever he is, says that Trump's views on race, quote, are somewhere between Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal. Where did he come up with that one? Is he an anthropologist? Did it have a background in anthropology that I don't know about, the NAACP CEO? Why are they on Trump about race? Where did this come from? Where does this hatred, this racist hatred for Trump come from? That Muslims hate him because he's trying to keep terrorists out. Radical blacks hate him because he's trying to treat everybody fairly. What do you mean his Trump's views on race are somewhere between Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal? Why would anyone give a dime to the NAACP when it's become such a hateful organization? Former Twitter engineer says professional communities must make it difficult to be a conservative. Why is Twitter such a left-wing twit? Why is the CEO of Twitter such a left-wing twit? That's what I don't understand. Answer, taxes, taxes, taxes.
Savage.
Talking about Zuckerberg, who wrote a highfalutin memo about internationalists and internationalism, and we shouldn't respect borders and languages and cultures. We need international norms and this and that. And then we looked into the amount of taxes they paid, and we almost fell on the floor. If I ever read to you what they paid, you'll collapse. See, if you analyze liberals, you realize what they're really all about. Zuckerberg gave a manifesto from Facebook. I have nothing against the guy. He's a smart guy. He got very lucky, built a great business. God bless him for that. But his company paid no income tax at all, according to a recent report. And this article was written by no less a lady who writes for the Huffington Post, a left-wing outlet. Facebook paid no net corporate income taxes in the U.S. in 2012, according to a new report from Citizens for Tax Justice, a left-leaning research and advocacy group. Instead, Facebook will rake in $429 million in net tax refunds for the year. The government pays them. The company earned $1.1 billion in U.S. corporate profits last year and paid nothing. So now when you read that Zuckerberg writes a big story with his manifesto that we don't need borders and no language and no culture, it's so he can shovel money overseas and not pay a nickel. Look, it's time for Jeff Sessions to crack down on undershirt. Just rake undershirt in and pull him before a hearing with Republicans and ask him why he doesn't pay any taxes if he cares so much about the poor. That's all. I'm sick of this. Here's where the left and the right should really get together and make these criminals pay their fair share of taxes. You heard me. Now I'm starting to sound like that guy from Brooklyn who ran for president. Where is he? He was taken over. He was superseded by Schumer. What's his name? The seltzer man cometh. What's his name? The guy who ran for the presidency. I forget his name. Look how you can forget if they're not in the news every day. Bernie Schmendrick. You see people with broken cars still driving around with Bernie stickers wherever you go. It's sad. Like a broken car, you know, with a muffler falling off, has a bad Bernie sticker on the tail. But where is Bernie? He's been replaced by Schumer. They must have shut him up. Schumer must have gone to Bernie and said, look, Bernie, there's only room for one seltzer man at a time in the American political circus. So why don't you take a nice long vacation somewhere in Jacksonville? We'll provide the transportation in the form of a short line bus ticket for you and the missus. I'll give you one night out at Disneyland. It's nearby. I could go into topics that'll get you mad. I don't want to do it. The Wisconsin students demand free college for African Americans. Now, we're going to pay attention to a bunch of idiots who never belong in college to begin with. You know what? Five radicals go there and who can't keep up with everyone else. They can't keep up with engineering students, so they go into a field where they don't have to study at all, and they spend their whole day agitating. So they say there should be no scores, no SAT scores, and there should be no tests. I swear to God, then why are you going to college? The University of Oregon's proposed, they want more ethnic studies courses. That should be very valuable. How do you make a living if you study ethnic studies in college? What do you go out and practice ethnic studies 101? What kind of job do you get in ethnic studies, except working for Obama and he's no longer president? The so-called resolution demands free access to the university for all black people, including former inmates. That means free tuition, free housing, and no fees. Now, what if the black person's a millionaire? Should they get free tuition, too, because of slavery? I mean, would that be part of diversity and inclusion? I don't understand this. The Associated Students of Madison, Wisconsin, said that students from suburban high schools are overrepresented, and that ACT and SAT scores should not be applied at all, because it restricts opportunities for the poor and upholds white supremacy. This is so racist, it's not even worth talking about. I throw them off the campus and tell them, look, you know what I mean? Study a real course or get out of here. Don't waste our time. Where are the leaders in the university community to stand up to these idiots? I believe in access to the universities for all races based upon quality. Because as I wrote many years ago, without quality, there can be no equality. Period, end of story. I knew a black guy when I was young who got in on a full scholarship. His father was a surgeon. They were a millionaire family. He himself was embarrassed by it. But he took the money anyway. You see? I don't want to talk about it. I'm sick of it. I'm not going to talk about race. I'm just tired of the topic. You know, Obama's gone. Can we stop talking about race? I'm sick of it. Captured ISIS militant says he raped and killed hundreds of women. It was normal. Where was Hillary Clinton while that was happening? While ISIS was raping their way across the Middle East? How come the big champion of women didn't say one word about ISIS? Islamic State militant Ammar Hussein says he reads the Quran all day in his tiny jail cell to become a better person. Really? He also says he raped more than 200 women from Iraqi minorities and shows no regrets because he's allowed to do it according to his holy book. Are you listening to what I just said to you, you morons, you, who think that all religions teach the same thing, you idiots, you? You stupid, brainwashed, liberal morons, you? You idiots who don't know anything about the world you live in, you stupid idiots, you? Islamic State militant Ammar Hussein says he reads the Quran all day in his tiny cell to become a better person. He also says he raped more than 200 women from Iraqi minorities and shows few regrets because it's permitted. Hussein told Reuters in an interview that his emirs or local Islamic State commanders, quoting their Bible, gave him and others a green light to rape as many Yazidi and other women as they wanted. Young men need this, Hussein said to Reuters. This is normal. Hussein said he moved from house to house in several Iraqi cities, raping women from the Yazidi sect and other minorities. That would be Christians as well. At a time when the Islamic State was grabbing more and more territory from Iraqi security forces. Now, I want to pause right there. Do you know when ISIS started to be beaten back? It was only when Russia started bombing them. Do you know that? You see, our president, Hussein Obama, was running a fake war against ISIS. It was a nun war. It was a fake war, and I knew it from the get-go. The day I saw a victory parade of Toyota trucks after they took a city, and our Air Force was not allowed to bomb them, I knew it was a fake war by Obama. Obama was doing a head fake on us. Then when Russia got serious and started bombing these throwbacks, all of a sudden, yeah, we're going to bomb too. Now, of course, ISIS is somewhat on the run right now. Witnesses say Islamic State fighters raped many Yazidi women after the group rampaged through northern Iraq in 2014. It abducted many Yazidi women as sex slaves and killed some of their male relatives. How come we didn't hear anything about this when Hussein Obama was president? How come we didn't hear anything about this when Hillary Clinton was running as the champion of women? How come we didn't hear about the rapes? You heard about it from me. Hussein said he also killed about 500 people since joining Islamic State. We shot whoever we needed to shoot and beheaded whoever we needed to behead. He said, my emirs taught me how to kill. It was hard at first, but then it became easier every day. We'd kill 7, 8, 10 at a time, 30 or 40 people. We would take them in the desert and kill them, said Hussein. Really? Did you? I would sit them down, put a blindfold on them, and fire a bullet into their head, said the good Muslim. But he says the reason he did it is he came from a broken home. Hussein sees himself as a victim of hardship, a product of a broken home and poverty in his hometown of Mosul, where Iraqi forces have launched an offensive against the Islamic State to take them out from their last stronghold in Iraq, blah, blah, blah. So he sits in his jail cell reading a Quran, and he looks at religious slogans scratched on its cement walls. His only possessions are a thick blanket and a Quran. On the floor is a polystyrene plate with broth and some rice. I could read more, but I really think I should stop right here. Because if you don't know that not all religions are equal, in the sense that they don't all teach peace and love, then you really are hopeless. You belong on the Bill Maher show, or you belong working for Bernie Sanders. So now they're attacking Donald Trump's wife, Melania. Here is a woman who speaks many languages, and low-life high school dropouts who work for the New York Post, who can't get a date, are attacking her because she has an accent. Low-lifes who rent walk-ups in Brooklyn Heights that they can't own themselves, who can't meet a husband, are attacking her for living in a $100 million penthouse. This is how low it's become with the tabloid press. And then you got idiots like Jimmy Kimmel. Idiots. You know, the whole thing is the media. It's this media thing. You talk about fake news. How about fake entertainers who are not even funny? Is Jonas Schimmel's son, Jimmy Schimmel, funny? Is Jimmy Schlemiel funny to make jokes about the First Lady? How come they didn't make any jokes about Mrs. Obama? Did you hear the big shot Jimmy Kimmel make any quips about Michelle Obama in those 8 years when she was making an ass of herself day in and day out, gorging in her fat face on pizza and telling the children to eat carrots? Telling children to eat garbage while she says she's addicted to French fries? When I call the queen of the fries? Did you hear anything coming from Jimmy Kimmel? Where are they all of a sudden getting their guts from, all of these high-end escorts in the media? They're like high-end escorts that work for the newspaper business. Actually, low-end escorts. Anyway, my main point is that we all love Donald Trump, but we would like him to focus now a little bit more on domestic. Agree or disagree? We have to focus on domestic. We liked Netanyahu, but it wasn't the right time for the visit. I don't know what he's doing here. I don't know why that's front and center all of a sudden, the biggest issue on our planet. I don't understand it. I would rather have seen something with a steel mill somewhere, like a steel mill running again. Please focus on jobs, jobs, jobs. Please be seen with a hard hat outside a factory. Please go to a coal mine. Please go to an auto factory. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Become our jobs president. Please do that, Mr. Trump. We need that very badly. And let some of those behind you build that wall and take on the Islamofascists and silence the deep state Islamists who are undermining you and your administration. But front and center needs to be the jobs for the people who elected you. That would be my opinion. I'm only one man with a microphone. That's all I am. Of the billions of people on the planet, I'm just one man with a microphone and the ability to speak and write books. That's all I am. And I hope that some of my advice is well taken by the president and those around him. And they have to understand how dangerous the situation is for Donald Trump domestically by focusing internationally when people elected him for the domestic. I can guarantee you that the average guy out of work in anywhere America, the Eddies who I talked about, the Ediths, they really don't care about Israel. Yes, the Christians, God bless them, the fundamentalist Christian community rightly knows that Israel is the promised land of the Jewish people, which is the foundation of Christianity. They know, they understand that. They know the Jews have been there for millennia, since the beginning of recorded history. They understand that. And they are very happy that the president is so supportive of Netanyahu and of Israel. But again, what should come first is the question. You want to talk about that? We can do that. What should come first? Domestic or international? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Now let's go to MichaelSavage.com. See all the stories, and my new book will be out soon. Well, I don't really tell you about the new book enough. First of all, do you like the picture of me? It's a whole different look of me. That's number one. Trump's war is battle for America. You know, a book is an important part of a cover. It's a great picture of me. It's a certain kind of hat. Trump's War is Battle for America, Michael Savage. I'm going to turn to the table of contents. Page 3. It's a good book. His Battle for America, Michael Savage. I'm going to try and give it to a certain person tomorrow night. See if he'll want it. Coming out in March. Chapter 1, Trump's War Against the Enemies Within. Chapter 2, Trump's Economic War. 3, Trump's War to Repeal Obamacare. 4, Trump's War for Our Borders. Chapter 5, Trump's Culture Wars. 6, Trump's War to Restore the Military. 7, Trump's War Against the War Machine. Chapter 8, Trump's War Against the Rhinos. Now, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. You think you heard it all? You are wrong. Here's the rest of it. Chapter 9, Trump's War to Restore Real Science. I want to help him with that one. Chapter 10, Trump's War for the First Amendment. 11, Trump's War for the Second Amendment. And here's one that should appeal to all of you. Chapter 12 of my new book is Trump's War Against the Deep State. Concludes with Chapter 13, The Battle Plan, Savage Solutions. It's a must-read. You have to have it in the Savage Library. Last political book, end of story. Won't do anymore. I put down the God book when I worked on this. I was 19,500 and some odd words into the God book. And then I was asked to do the Trump book. I really have abandoned the God book. I pray to God every once in a while, in at night. I pray before the show. I don't know if you know this. I'm not trying to show up. Ask the guys. I do. I pray to God for the strength to do the show. What, do you think it's easy? If I did not pray every day before the show, I don't think I can get up and do this anymore. It's too difficult to just make it up as you go along. So I've got to pull down the divine energy, the Shekinah. I got to pull it out of the sky. You see, there's an energy up in there's an energy field in the universe. You want me to get into this? There is an energy field in the universe. And all religions, whether they be the type of religions we understand or the type of religions we don't understand, all religions try to tap into this universal energy. If you study Native American traditions, you will see that they are, if you look at their dances and you look at their rituals, it's all an attempt to reach the spirit world. Is that right? Now, of course, the monotheistic religions do not believe in the spirit world per se. We believe in a higher power called God. But to me, it's one and the same. I have to tell you right now, I've spent enough time in island groups that are very obscure with people who reach the spirit world to tell you that there are people who can reach the spirit world and they don't have to do it with our understanding of how to reach the spirit world. And I've seen the spirit world affect people in my own life. I've also seen the spirit world protect me. I wrote a book back in the 80s called Insert. I can't even give you the title. Someone will steal it. I'm having it edited and transcribed right now. The young lady who's doing it says, this is your best book ever. But she said to me, did this really happen to you when you said you left a village late at night under a new moon when there was no moon and you had to get out of there? You felt something enter the bure, the straw house. You're with the men drinking kava kava and you had to leave. You just felt you had to leave and they said, don't go. And you went and you walked back to your village that night along a cliff. And the next day you were taken back to that cliff by your good friend Domenico, who said to you, look where you walked last night, Michael. And you had walked on a 6-inch cliff, a piece of a cliff that was 6 inches with about a 200-foot fall into the sea. She said, how did you do that? Who guided you? Who guided your feet on that? You had no flashlight. I said, the spirits guided my feet. So I don't want to lose my contact with the spirits or with God. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?